My voice has been coming and going for the last week. I just got back from a work trip, which also had some surfing involved with Hannes. And on that trip, I totally lost my voice. Because when you're surfing, you see perfect waves like J-Bay. You scream like a girl most of the times, you know, and you're like, and then your voice tends to go. So, and I think this morning, I think I actually screamed harder than seeing perfect waves because I saw our perfect Lord and, he's God. So for me, I want to shout louder in church than what I shout for rugby or waves or anything like that. You know, that's for me is more important than those worldly things, which we do enjoy. So this morning, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Barent. I'm one of the elders here that serve on the team, an amazing team that God has put together. And it's incredible to see what God is busy doing in us this morning and in our lives the last couple of weeks and months, to see how God is taking us as a church forward. And not just our congregation, but the whole of Josh Gen. And part of this morning is actually a mandate from the Lord, where the apostles that are over us, those that we see as got an apostolic gift, said, hey guys, you guys are doing well, but there's this one little thing that might be lacking at the moment, and it's this thing called hospitality. And last week, just to recap quickly, when Mike Davies came and he spoke about what is hospitality, and you know how he unpacked that about you know, the practical actions. It's things that we do for Jesus. It's those things that, hey, you do it to the least, you're doing it unto the Lord. You guys remember that? We're all on the same page? Now, many of the things that he said last week is also the whys, why we do hospitality. But this morning, I want to just delve a little bit deeper into the why are we hospitable. Is that okay? And through that, for us to see how we can be Jesus, we sang this morning, Lord, I want to be more like you. You know, you are the one that we want to strive to. And part of that is the exercising the muscle or spinning the plate, if you want to say, of hospitality. Amen? Yeah. Cool. Andre, family, so nice to see you guys. I was like, whoo, so nice. And also Emma. Hi, Ems. So nice to have Ems here. So, yeah, it's like, I'm trying, where should I not look? You know, no, but it's awesome for you guys. No, I know. No, it's awesome just having Ems here with us as well. I heard Enya said this is her church, and I'm like, yes, you know, so so that's cool. So nice having you guys here. So cool, let's quickly jump into, we're going to look at hospitality. And I want us to look at a scripture, Luke. You can put it up on the board, Luke 24, verse 28 to 32. And just a quick little context before we go into this. Jesus was crucified, he's in the tomb. And Mary and Martha, I don't think it's the same Mary and Martha, but Mary and Martha, they went to go to see where Jesus is. And Jesus was risen. And they ran to the disciples. They said to him, listen, Jesus is not in the tomb anymore. It is true what he said. He is alive. He has risen. And the story goes on where it says, not many of them, actually only Peter is the only one that ran to the grave to go see if Jesus was still there. And he was like, Jesus, not there. The other disciples, they didn't believe. And what happened was two of them was on a road to Emmaus. And we pick up the story where these two guys are walking on the road and Jesus appears to them. But when Jesus appears to them, the Bible says that he blinded their eyes for them to recognize him. So you've got to understand, Jesus was with these guys for 3 years, but Jesus blinded their eyes and they couldn't recognize him. And he said to them, what are you guys talking about? And they said, well, how do you not know what we're talking about? Like, we're talking about Jesus of Nazareth that just passed away, that just died on the cross. And now these women are saying that he's risen from the dead, but we have got no hope. And they're walking away from Jerusalem, where Jesus said to them, stay in Jerusalem. But they're walking away from Jerusalem on a road to Emmaus, and he appears to them. And Jesus just starts speaking to them and saying to them, but remember the prophets. Remember what I said to you. Remember, remember, remember. And he's trying to show them. And the whole time, they're not getting it. They're not getting it. And it comes to this point where they drew near to the village to which they were going. And Jesus, he acted as if he was going further. So Jesus was like, cool guys, nice chat, see you guys. Okay, if Jesus does that to your life, like, try and keep him. They were very wise. They said, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. Stay with us. For it was towards evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Next one. When he was at table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. When we invite Jesus, or we invite people, stay with us, what happens? Our eyes are open, and we recognize Jesus. As you do to the least of these, as you bring a stranger in your house, as you are hospitable this morning, I want to show you guys why we do what we do in hospitality. And one of the biggest things is that when we say, stay with us, you will see Jesus. Amen? So we can see how these guys, without any hope, the scripture goes on and they say, our hearts are now burning with inside of us. Because what? We've seen him. We've seen Jesus. Now our hearts are burning with inside of us. Let's go back to Jerusalem. That same night, they turned around and they went back in obedience to what Jesus was telling them. So we see the same story, a similar story in Genesis 18. We're not going to turn there, but we see that story where Abraham is sitting at his tent, three guys approaching. It's actually the Lord and two angels. And what does Abraham do immediately? He says, come closer, come sit with me. He's, Sarah, there's people here. Get hot milk, get bread, get this. Let's invite them, let's sit and chat with them. And Abraham, in his hospitality, starts talking to God, starts talking to the Lord. And what happens? Abraham is actually so much involved with the conversation that he changed the mind of the Lord. Because the Lord was on his way to Sodom and Gomorrah. He was about to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham said, but God, I hear you. They are very wicked. You know, I think Abraham came with a little bit of fear and trembling. I think at that point he realized, but he was, Lord, there's one. He started out by 10 and it came down to, but what if you found one righteous person? And what did the Lord say? If there's one, I will save that one. So Abraham, in his hospitality, started talking to the Lord. You guys see the importance of hospitality. Now, hospitality, there's a couple of scriptures, and I'll go through them now. But the thread of hospitality goes through the whole Bible. We see it from Genesis all the way through. Where did Jesus meet? Always in homes, always going to people's houses. God even said to the Israelites, bring in strangers. Bring in the other nation. Not the way, like, marry them and have their idols and. No. But bring them in. Let them experience my love and who I am through you. And we're going to delve into that a little bit. So the thing for us is that phrase, stay with us. Stay with us. And I want you this morning, just the whole time, just remember, stay with us. So in our lives, there are three things that will motivate us to do something. Okay? Who can tell me what they are? What motivates you to do something? Like, what is the reason why you want to do something, eh? Deadlines, okay? Well, yeah, it's one of them. So money, okay? That could be, it all fits part of that. Money is the reward. So part of the three things that really drives us to do something or motivates us in life is relationships, retribution, and reward. And this morning, I want to look at those three and break it down a little bit in terms of our hospitality. Why do we host people? Through relationships, retribution. If I'm not obedient, you get reprimanded, or there's retribution and reward. Reward motivates me most of the time, you know. It's not the main thing, and it shouldn't be, but yeah. So let's just quickly look at relationships. And, this morning, like we said, we're wanting to be more like Jesus. The most important relationship in our life is Jesus. And we're not, You know, Christianity is not this religion, it's a set of rules, things we've got to do, things we've got to like accomplish, and there's tasks. And no, it's out of relationship. It's out of that place of like, Jesus, I see you, like I saw you this morning. And what do you want me to do? Out of that place of relationship with firstly with him, and then how that flows out to others. And I think that is one of the main motivations in our hearts, or should be, of why we're wanting to do things in this Christian walk that we're doing. So, you know, like we don't live just for ourselves. We live for other people. You know, what is our, in Josh 10, dying to live, dying to live. I die to myself. And in hospitality, you die to yourself often, you know, in showing someone hospitality. And, you know, if we look at this thing, you know, who of us wants to say, God, speak to me? Who wants to hear a word of the Lord? God, speak to me. God, speak to me. Don't say, God, speak to me, but not invite people to come into your homes. When did the Lord start speaking to these guys, these two disciples? When did God start speaking to Abraham? When did God start speaking to his disciples? When there was hospitality involved, when they were coming around a meal, when they were sitting together, relationship for the Lord, that is what it's about. Building a relationship with him, becoming more like him, but the outflowing then is building relationship here. And hospitality is the tool that we use, that we do that with. The definition of hospitality in my phone is, Google says, it's the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. Hey, how beautiful is that? The friendly and generous reception and entertainment. That's why I've got kids, to entertain my guests. No, I'm just joking. Of the guest, of visitors, and of strangers. You know, synonyms for hospitality. Friendliness, a warm reception, kindness, helpfulness, generosity, liberality, abundance. Those are the things that explain what hospitality is. Now just quickly think of those words. Isn't that what Jesus showed to us? Isn't Jesus so hospitable to us in everything that we do? He's kind. He's loving. He's generous. There's abundance in him. And so as we become more like him, we can become more hospitable. Okay. So the good thing, or the thing is, and I just want to clarify this also, hospitality is not just hosting someone in your house. And I know we've got a 412 conference coming, and I know a lot of that has been saying, so we are hosting people and getting people in our homes, but it's not just that. Hospitality is sometimes, I can't host, but can I make a meal? How do I reach out? How do I bring people? Can I drive you to wherever you need to go? My car's broken. Your car's broken. You understand what hospitality is? It's that kindness, that's all wrapped up in hospitality. With relationships, don't look for the mainos, the celebrities, the cool guys. So, because, you know, to have them, like, hey guys, so Jesus is coming. Who wants to host Jesus? Everybody goes, woo, me. Okay, and we've got this bigger guy. Who wants to host him? He just came out of drugs. Sure, there's, you know what James 2 says? God hates favoritism. So that's, we've got to be careful of our hearts. So this weekend, when we were up in Jay Bay, we had the privilege of just meeting one of the top 20 surfers in the world. He's Brazilian. He's a very nice guy. And things just works out that last week Sunday, Saturday evening, literally at about 5 o'clock, it happened that he was coming to Cape Town, and I said, come stay by us. Stay by us, you know. Said to him, it was my words. I said, come stay by us. So I got home, and my poor wife, I said to her, babes, I didn't plan anything. This is now 5, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. we've got someone staying by us tomorrow for 2 days. She's like, what? So she'll tell more a little bit about that. But then I told Anna, my little daughter, just turned 9. I said, Anna, this guy's staying by us. And she's like, who's he, Dad? So I said, no, he's this surfer guy. And she was like, whoa, this is so exciting. Okay, I'll move out of my room. Okay, what can I do? And immediately her mom, Leanne, pulled her close, said, Anna, I don't do all these things because he's famous or because he's somebody. I would do exactly the same if it was a beggar coming off the street. And honestly, I know my wife would. That's why she's way better than what I am. You know, she's like, she's the, yeah. But do you get that? We can, in those moments, we don't, when we hear hosting for 412, so which of the main guys need hosting? No, no, no. Whoever needs hosting, my house is open. My door is open. Coming. Do not show favoritism because relationships, that's where you kill relationships. We heard this morning from Grant, and it's incredible how he picked up on this little, what's that little town? Bethany, where Martha, Mary and Martha was. And they had a brother called Lazarus. And Lazarus died. And the scripture actually goes on, you can go read it in John 11 verse 1, where Jesus, because of his relationship with Mary and Martha, Mary washed his feet, he was in their home many times, he heard Lazarus died. That's where that scripture is in, where it says, Jesus wept. He looked at them and he wept. Jesus had compassion and he's like, no, no, I'm going there. 4 days after he died, Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, said Lazarus is not dead, he raised him from the dead. You see how relationship works? There was a Shunammite woman. And the prophet Elijah used to come through their town. And you can go read it in Kings, where the prophet Elijah used to come every time. They hosted him once, made a meal for him. He came again. I think by the third, fourth time, this Shunammite woman said, hey, babes, this guy's coming through the town all the time. Let's convert this section of the roof into a place. We put a bed there. We put a table there. That's his spot. When he comes, that's where he lives. And they did it. So how incredible. Have you converted your room for someone permanently or made something available permanently? That was a permanent, this is where he stays. And when Elijah saw this, he was so moved and he said, woman, whatever you want, just tell me, you know. What do you want? And she said, I really want a child. And he said, but in a year's time from now, you will be holding a child. And she said, it's impossible. My husband's old. We have heard that again, that before. And, but the Lord granted her a child. And she got a child and the child grew up. One day this child was in the field saying, oh, Dad, I've got such bad headaches. Rushed him to his mom. And in his mom's arm, the child passed away. So what did the Shunammite woman do? She ran with the child. She put him on the bed of Elijah, where Elijah always slept, packed a donkey, and rushed to Elijah. Said, Elijah, man of God, can you see the relationship? Please, my son is dead. And he said, I'm on my way. So Elijah went, to cut a very long story short, he lay on the kid, on the child, his nose was touching his nose, his mouth. You can go read it in Kings. And he became alive again. Elijah raised him from the dead. So you see how relationship, inviting people into your homes. She didn't know when she converted her little loft area to who knows what God's going to do through people that come through your home. You know, our relationship with Jesus is one of a friendship relationship, one of a king, and then there's also one of a lordship, where there's a lordship, where Jesus actually commands us to do certain things. And I want to quickly look at Hebrews 13. And in light of this, you know, looking at our relationship with Jesus, there's times where Jesus actually commands us to do things. And in Hebrews 13, verse 1, can you put that up for me? Thanks, Josh. It says, and verse 2. Hey? Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Do not neglect. The angel part is very cool. The part that's not, do not neglect. Do you hear the command of the Lord? Do not neglect to show hospitality. There's a weightiness to it. Do not neglect to show hospitality. It's in us. It's who we are. It's our culture. It's not our culture because of we are Afrikaans, English, Khoza, or this or that. It's the kingdom culture. It's the thread that goes through from Genesis all the way through to now. Kingdom culture of hospitality. Do not neglect hospitality. One of the things that should motivate us is retribution. What did Jesus say? It's better for us to obey than to sacrifice. Leave your sacrifice at the altar. Rather be obedient to the Lord. And out of our relationship with Him, we should want to, Lord, I want to obey you with everything I have. Well, do not neglect to show hospitality. Do not neglect to host someone for 4:12. I'm going to put it in there. Do not neglect that opportunity, because you could just be hosting an angel or someone that could pray for your child with whatever sickness or what. We don't know. God is so intricate in those kind of things. So part for us is that retribution, is living in that place where the Lord says, obey me. And to be honest, I don't want to stand in front of God one day and He said, remember that couple? They knocked on your door and you didn't say, come stay with us. And I nudged you, let them stab you. So let that also motivate us in life and say, Lord, we want to obey you. I'm scared. I want to be. We heard last week of Mike, what Mike said about the sheep and the goats. Who remembers that? The sheep and the goats. Where we will, those that are obedient, God says, you're part of my kingdom. Goats. Not in eternal, there's an eternal cost to not obeying the Lord. And hospitality falls under that. Matthew 10, verse 14 to 15, if you can quickly put that up, Josh. So just a quick background, this is where Jesus says to His disciples, go out, going to this town and that town. And it says, and if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. That's pretty scary. We just heard about Sodom and Gomorrah with Abraham. Hospitality is intertwined in that whole story. And now we're reading, if you come to a town and people don't say, come stay with us, wipe off the dust off your feet. But watch out for that town. It's going to be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you. Do you understand? Do you want to see the importance of hospitality? And I don't want to skirt around the retribution part. And it's not in fear that we host people and do things for people. It's in love. I understand that. But I want us to, we've got to have the truth in balance. So we've got to see these side of things as well. Jesus, sitting at the temple, about to go into where the worship was happening in Jerusalem. And there was the outer courts. And the outer courts were known. And again, how did God build in hospitality into everything? Those were for the Gentiles. Those were for outsiders to come close to God, to come close to what Jerusalem, what the Israelites are doing. So God said, the outer courts are there for the Gentiles. Make it easy for them to come into the presence of the Lord. And what did the Israelites do? They started putting up stalls. Okay, so you want to sacrifice a dove? It's going to cost you $5. Shekels, whatever it was that time. And what did Jesus do? So Jesus was watching this, and He was slowly but surely just putting a whip together. So Jesus never responds in anger. Okay? But can you imagine what Jesus did there? He was just going, God, they're not getting it. They're not seeing your heart of openness for everyone. And Jesus had a whip out. And he started throwing tables. And he started whipping people. It's hectic. It's hectic. Why? Because they weren't being hospitable to the Gentiles. Jeez, I actually feel God's presence. It's just, Lord, I want to host someone tonight, you know. Come stay with me, anybody, you know. So, but do we get this? We see the importance of hospitality. And it's the thing that Jesus wants us to get out of that relationship, out of that love. But in everything in life, there's consequences. So I want us to see the gravity of what we're doing. So finally, and like I said, this is not... Wait, before we go to that, babes, you want to quickly come share before we go into the final R, which is the nice one, rewards, you know? So quickly want my wifey just to share something on hospitality.
Hi. I think when Barnes said he'd like me to share what he wanted me to share, I said, I feel like I've got a bit of a advantage to other people, because I feel like God's really given me, and it's his ability that he's given me to be able to do it. So I realize for me, sometimes hosting people and being hospitable comes easily, and it's fun, and I enjoy it. But I wanted to touch on the times when it's actually hard, and it's actually not that easy, and it's actually uncomfortable, and it's a little bit awkward. And like he said, on Saturday he arrived at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, and he told me this guy's coming. I'd had a ballet meeting all morning. I'd been looking after my little 2-year-old nephew. I'd had a crazy day. I was trying to just feed him and get him to sleep so that I could just go and have a hot cup of coffee and watch a movie. And instead, my Saturday night ended up being changing bedding and cleaning the bathroom and mopping floors and getting everything ready for this guy that's coming to stay, who was semi-famous, but I did tell my daughter that we would do the same for anyone, and she must be willing to give a room for anyone. But I had to literally pick up hundreds, if not thousands, of pieces of Lego that was thrown across the floor while I'm just trying to get the kids to bath and go to bed. And those are times when it's hard. It's when you're sick and you're feeling tired and you just want to selfishly just crawl into a little hole and just self-medicate with some nice soothing music and a nice cup of coffee. And those are times when God still compels us to open our home. And we do that because, well, I can speak for myself, I do that because I love Jesus. And I know Jesus loves it when we open our homes and our lives and our everything to him. And we invite them in. And I'm always, I'm sure the scripture's been said a couple of times over the last 2 weeks, but that scripture that said, whoever gives even a little one of these, just a little cup of cold water, will not lose their reward. I'm sure I'm touching on your reward thing, but that thing, it always rings in my mind when I'm like, this is hard. And then I think, but Jesus would do it. And I often think if Jesus had a house in Malkos, it would be humming because it would be people and we'd be have fun and we'd be worshiping and eating and everyone would be together. And I think, and that's what our home should be. Our home should be that place where people can come and they can experience the hands and feet of Jesus and they can come be a part of it. And we do that because we love him and because it moves his heart. And if it moves his heart, then it moves my heart.
Well, that always tough to pick up after my wife. I'm joking. It's not always easy. It's not always easy making someone a meal. We've all got lives that we're living. We're all busy. We're all struggling through something. But Jesus. Okay, so going into looking at the third R and the last R about rewards. And this is not our motivation for do things, okay? We don't do this because I'm going to get this big reward. And if it is your motivation, let it motivate you for a while, but then move into that relationship part of like, Lord, I want to do this because I love you. And whether I get a reward or not, that's also cool, you know. But the Bible is true, and it says that, you know, we will get a reward. If we read in one of the concepts, about family and friendships and those kind of things, we have made friends with people around this world. We've got friends at the moment in Isle of Man, Uncle Chris and Auntie Carol, Chris and Carol. They literally, I think, closer to my kids and to us than my mom and dad. My mom and dad live in Australia. We don't see them. We maybe see them once every second year. Uncle Chris and Auntie Carol is there almost twice a year. They're in our homes. They're with us. They become family. They truly have become family. My kids can't wait for the conferences. Uncle Chris and Carol come. Yes, they're coming. They're with us. Those are rewards that we've gained, friendships. We've had French people live in our house. We've had Brazilians in our house. We've had the nations in our house. And what does it say in Psalm 2? Ask of me, and I will give you the nations. It's not about always us going to the nations. And yes, that is important. And I encourage you guys, go to the nations. But when the nations come to us, open your home. God is giving you a part, an inheritance into the nations. That's one of the rewards we have. We will receive back in this life even more. The concept of sowing and reaping. Sow into hospitality. Sow in people's life. Give your best when someone stays with you. And we've heard this. You only have one bedroom. That's fine. Come borrow a mattress from someone. Move out of your room. That's not about making you comfortable. And it's giving everything for them. Give your car up. Say, take my car. My city bus is right here. Don't worry, we'll meet you there. Take our car. You know, if your car's small, if you've got a motorbike, let them go on the motorbike. No, I'm joking. Don't do that. But you get the heart. There's a reward. These things come, God will give back to us as we sow. And, you know, learn what it means where Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. We can truly say, honestly, the times we've given up things and we look back and we see what God has done, we're like, yes, it is so much better to give than to get. We've been hosted by many people as well, and it's great. And often I lie there and I'm thinking, yes, these people, they've given their best. Tell you a quick story. I went to Mozambique, or the border of Mozambique. There was a little town, and we were working into that town. From Cape Town, it took us 22 hours to drive. And me and a friend of mine, we were staying in this house, and genuinely, the couple has got a rondavel. It was a black family, and they opened up their home. They gave us their beds. I honestly don't know where they slept, because they would wait until we went to bed, and then we would hear a thing, and they would be awake way before us. And they genuinely gave their best. And I remember this one morning waking up and getting this smell, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what is that smell? I'm sure they're making steaks for us. Now, you got to remember, they have got nothing. They live in the bush. Their church was meeting under a tree. So we would walk. There was no cars. There's nothing. We got dropped off there. We would walk. They've got nothing. So I'm smelling these steaks, and I'm going, oh, my goodness, these folks are making steaks for us. So we get out, and we're like, thank you. And this piece of meat is on the plate. And I'm looking at my friend, and I'm like, sheesh, okay, these oaks have gone all out for us today. And as I cut, I realized it was not a steak. It was a kidney. I don't know from what animal. And a big kidney. And we're all sitting there. And I realized, Lord Jesus, these oaks gave their best. And I was like, it was early in the morning. Coffee wasn't really a thing there because it's too expensive. They had some tea. And as I cut through this kidney, which I think it was a kidney. It was either a kidney or it can't be a bladder. I was trying to, a lung. It could have been a lung. I wasn't sure. I said, hey, I'm quite thirsty. Do you have a Coke, you know? So I think it was a Coke. But you know what? The beauty of it all was, yes, we ate it and we were just like, every little bit I was trying to. But I could see in them, they gave their best. And I don't know, I honestly haven't lost contact with those guys. It was about 20 years ago. And just, but you know what? They gave their best. And I'm like, Lord, bless them. Bless them. You know, and those guys, the reward for them is great. You know, and not that I was anybody special. I was just someone coming from a far place, and we ministered and loved them. So find out what it is, that what it means, better to give than to receive. And those are the reasons why, you know, and the last reward is, and we know it, we've got an inheritance with him forever. Forever we are going to be hosted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The hospitality that he's shown to us now, but even for eternity, that's our reward. That's part of it. And I want us, why do we do the things that we do? Why do we host? Because we see him. And we, Jesus, we want to become like you. If by me giving someone a meal, giving them a lift, giving them a wetsuit, which I haven't got back yet. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Sorry, I had to put that in there. That's my, sorry. Yeah, it's a birthday. No, I'm joking. But it is, you know what, if a small little thing like that, giving up my bed for a week, can impact someone's life for eternity. Why not? Why not? And I want to, you know, for us today, just while we're in this place, I'm wrapping up. Can I wrap up? Is it you good? Okay. Just got a sense this morning, you know, if you look at the thread of hospitality, it always happened around a meal. And what is the greatest meal for us? It's when Jesus sat down with his disciples and he said, "This is my body." Look at those two guys on the road to Emmaus. "Come, stay with us." As soon as Jesus broke the bread, they saw him. And I feel this morning for us, for hospitality, is for us to have a meal together, to break bread together, to be reminded what Jesus done for us, and at the same time, what we can do for others. And we're going to partake of communion, and we're going to go into that in light of this. But I want us to, just for a second, just quickly take stock, if that's a good word, you know? Just where am I at with hospitality? Has it been sometimes something that's, okay, I'll do it because they asked me to do it? And if that is, this morning I feel like there's a grace and there's a thing from the Lord saying, hey, I want you to experience what it is to host someone or to be hospitable to someone. And maybe this morning there's a couple of visitors here. Maybe this morning for you, you're like, what are you talking about? It's not, you know, I thought church is about Jesus, and it is. And you're talking about feeding people. But like that picture of the outer courts, maybe for you this morning, it's that place of coming in and saying, hey, I'm actually in the outer courts. I'm not even part of the church. But this morning I realized, as I've been in this place and worshiping, like, God, there's something here that I've got to commit my life to. I've got to give my life to. And you know what? Maybe in that moment right now, can we close our eyes quickly, all of us? Just as I said that, I just felt this morning, maybe there's one or two folk here, and you're just realizing, I'm standing at that outer court. And I'm not in the household of God. I've experienced church. I've seen church. Maybe some family members have said something, but you know what? I've never had, like I mentioned, that relationship with Jesus, because that's what it's about. It's about having a personal relationship with the Lord. And for you this morning, can you honestly say, Lord, I know you. I know your ways. I talk to you. And it's not an embarrassing thing. It's actually a marvelous thing to say, that's not me, but I want to. I want to come this morning and say, Lord, here I am. I want to give my life to you because you are the most incredible host. You are gentle. You are kind. And I see that this morning. And if there's one person here this morning, I don't know anyone, I don't want to lose an opportunity. If that is you, we would love to pray with you and stand with you as you enter into the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom, the culture that we live in. So maybe this morning, if that is you, and all the eyes are closed, and I know there's people praying because it's actually a very exciting moment. Even angels are standing and saying, let's see. So if that's you, if you want to just this morning say, Lord, I want to come back to you. I need you in my life. Don't you want to just indicate, raise your hand, just say, Lord, that is me. Maybe this morning for us is Josh Jen. Or if you're visiting, that's great. If you know Jesus, you're in this. Can we make a commitment this morning to Him? Can we say, yes, Lord, come stay with us? Can we just say, God, I want to open my heart, my home, strangers. And I feel like God is sort of like doing something in our hearts. And you know, as a Christian, often it is. We've got to take a step. We've got to like say, yes, Lord, I want to. I want to respond. I want to say, yes, I will. I want to open my home. And I want to make a commitment this morning to you, in front of you and in front of men, to say, Lord, that is me. I want to. And if that's you, if something in your heart this morning shifted, if something moved and you're like, yes, I've never seen this. I've never wanted to. Or maybe you have in the past, but you've slipped back. Things have become too hard. Don't have money. You come up with excuses, but you're saying this morning, Lord, it's not about that. I want to be hospitable. Don't you want to stand this morning with us? And don't just say, Lord, I want to. I commit myself. Even if you have in the past been. Thank you.
Just respond. What a beautiful word Baron shared with us. And I want to help us respond. Something about repentance is a change of mind. So repentance is a change of mind and also a shifting of our behavior, because we see what God loves and we see the reward. And I really feel there's actually a call of repentance, but it's not like a repentance where the finger and the whip. It's like God has opened our eyes this morning to love what He loves. And there's a call to walk with Him. So let's respond. I think that the taking of the bread and the grape juice, which is really looking at His death and resurrection and drinking and eating of His life, but that was done in the context of meals in His time. And so there's something about hospitality, which is really when we have meals together, it's actually the breaking of bread. And like Baron said, as we invite others to stay with us, their eyes and our eyes are opened up to Him. So there's a real call to repentance. Last thing. So not only 412, not only strangers, but I wonder if Melkbos will be touched by our Sunday meetings or by our dining room tables. I'm just wondering, which one's going to be most effective? I wonder how much God's intention to reach people is actually around our dining room tables. We've all got limited time. Part of our repentance is even how we see each other. Are you giving your table and your food to the people that God's called you to give hospitality to, even among us? And so sometimes we neglect even doing and being hospitable to those that God's placed around. Can we have repentance in those areas this morning? So we're going to partake of the bread and the grape juice. And as you repent, why don't you go and come and do business with God? Just let's just be together. We don't know how to administrate this. We sort of don't want to give it too many feet. But can we respond to the Lord by partaking? There's a table at the back on my right and also in the front here. So we're going to have some worship going. Let's respond. Let's respond to the Lord in repentance this morning. But it's because we see what God loves. And we want to love what He loves. I love the modeling. It was not just Barent and Leanne, the whole family. I was moved by that. I think I realized, okay, my whole family, not just me, a whole family actually being part of the call of God. Let's respond to the Lord this morning. Bless you guys.
Cool. If you're still busy praying, you can go for it. But if you're done, we're gonna